Get ready for conflicts where movie reviews collide.
Welcome to Conflicts, the podcast. It is me, Laura, slash Lulu, your moderator, and I am here with Rich, one of our reviewers. Say hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, dad joke. And I'm here with Nick. Say hey, Nick.
Hello.
See, not a dad joke. One's a dad, one's a not. You figure it out.
One's a not. One's a not.
I'm not certain if she was, what she meant by that.
So many things. It's multi-leveled.
Nick gets a pass from me today on everything, though, because he's wearing a Blues shirt. So
they're both Blues fans. I like hockey in theory. And
I'm a Blues fan. Nick's a little bit of a bandwagon fan. But
are you bandwagon?
But I'm going to
allow it. Welcome aboard.
I'm going to allow it.
I'm at least not.
I'm new to hockey.
Pretending like that I know things.
The last 3 to 4 years. Like, I still don't know everything about it. Like, Homeboy does.
You guys tuned in for a movie podcast and we've turned it into hockey. All right. Today we are going to be covering 2019's Pet Sematary. I do want to note we have all watched the 1989 film adaptation starring Herman Munster and Tasha Yar.
Oh my God. I was totally going to say that. I have that in my notes.
Me too. Really, they're the only ones that count.
Yeah,
this film is based on the 1983 Stephen King novel. Stephen King himself has a brief cameo in the 1989 adaptation as the priest.
Did you steal my notes? I feel like maybe you stole my notes because these are all my points.
Well, I feel like you were the smart kid in school, so I just would have had to sit next to you and cheat off your stuff.
Let's not go there.
Real quick, has anybody read the book?
Yes.
I was going to ask that. Of course Rich has read the book.
I knew that you had read the book.
I have not.
I have not.
That's surprising.
I know. And I know I keep talking about this, but freaking It is too long and I'm
1,100 pages away. Pages, people. Yeah. It is 1,400 pages.
It's going to take 6 months because of all the detail.
I actually
the dairy interludes.
I actually read this book before the movie was out.
Before the 89 or the 2019?
Before the 89 movie.
Nice. I was laughing at that. I was that 4, question. So I didn't.
No, I went through a big Stephen King phase in high school because I was in high school then. And
newsflash, Rich is old.
Yeah.
I was 2.
So,
shut up, child.
I did. And I've read it since, and I did recently rewatch the 1989 version as well.
Fun fact about this film, if you are familiar with the movie Kindergarten Cop, anybody? Anybody?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Little Gage from this is the little boy that stands up and goes, girls have a penis and boys have
from
a
the
vagina.
89,
Or does he say it correctly or does he say it backwards?
No, like, he says it correctly.
Does he? Okay, he says, boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Yeah, from the 89 version, not the...
Yes, yes. OG Gage, who is now, I'm sure, a grown adult.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he'd have to be.
Well, he could have died tragically. I'm just saying.
I mean, he was
a child star. God knows how his life's gone.
He was like Nick's age, so you know. And wait, is Nick an adult?
It's debatable. All right, the 2019 is directed by Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer. Screenplay by Jeff Buller. Story by Matt Greenberg. You know, as a layperson, not entirely sure the difference between the story and the screenplay. I understand, but I don't know why there's two different people that do it. And I'm going to research that, and I hope that you will too, dear listener. This stars Jason Clarke, Amy Simons, John Lithgow, and, forgive me, child, Jete Lawrence. It's like
forgive me, child.
J-E-T-E, but the E has a K on top of it.
Yeah. I'm
assuming that's Jete, but that also kind of sounds like a fierce drag queen name. Like, Jete Chante. Like, I feel like she's real fierce, and she's probably Brooklyn, and I love her. Sidebar, I follow all of the drag queens on Instagram. I love them. Roxy Andrews, I love you. Okay. A doctor, his wife, and 2 children leave the hustle and bustle of Boston for picturesque Ludlow, Maine. The idyllic setting of their new home is quickly tempered by the discovery of a mysterious burial ground in the nearby woods. When tragedy strikes the young family, a series of events is set in motion that unleashes unspeakable evil. dun, dun, dun. I was just about to waiting for one of you to do it, so I had to do it myself. I'm like, Jesus.
I'm sorry. I let you down. I apologize.
Epic fail, guys. We really need to get like a sound effect. That, like,
sound drops, yeah.
Yeah. Boom.
We need a rap horn. Yeah, press it.
That'd be great. Or you could just find an old-timey honky horn at like a flea honky. Market. Honk.
Ooga, ooga.
Yes, exactly. Spoiler warning. We're going to be in-depth discussing both of these movies. If you haven't seen them and you're listening to a podcast about them, watch them first, then come back and listen to the podcast. That last part is key. Always come back to me.
Or just be okay with spoilers because, you know.
Or, you know, you might be the person that reads the last chapter of the book first. You might be evil, whatever.
Oh, my brother does that.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Who does that? Jeez.
I'll say this much.
Did your brother call Jordan? Jordan, stop doing that.
I don't. I'm not one of those people who goes and reads the last first. I will say that if it ever is spoiled for me, it's never ruined it for me. I've never had like a movie or a book ruined just because somebody.
I will admit that there have been a couple of like book series that I have like a deep emotional connection to the characters that I will skip ahead to the end and like scan for names to see like
if they're still
did
around.
They all make it, because I need to like emotionally prepare myself if they're not gonna make
so you're like
it.
Going to the last book of Game of Thrones to see if Ned Stark
like
still
scanning,
floating around
like, did you make Eddard?
It to- Did you make it to book six, Ned? Did you? I don't see his name here anywhere. I hope something didn't happen to that guy.
Why is Ned not here? Is he on vacation?
Yeah. My brother ruins books, too, because he'll read them and then like tell me everything about it. And I'm like, I don't even need to read the stupid thing now. So anyway, back to Pet Sematary.
Is his name Cliff? Cliff Notes?
No, it's Cliff Clavin.
There you go.
That's an old-timey joke for you children.
It's a little-known fact that... That's my wife's nickname for me, because I'm constantly giving out random facts. So she'll be like, thank you, Cliff.
I do that a lot, too. Random facts. Knowledge is power, people. Learn things. All right. Let's dive off the deep end and let's grade this project. I would like to start with you, Richard.
Okay. Once again, I have a preface.
Oh, okay. I'm
so hang on. So, you know, I'm a pretty big Stephen King fan. I went through a phase where I read everything Stephen King. I've pretty much seen every movie that's based on his material that's ever come out. And you guys were talking about the new release of the movie It. Chapter 1 is out. Chapter 2 is coming out soon. And it may be the set of movies that's going to disprove my theory. But I've had a theory for most of my life that any movie adaptation of his work that they associate with Stephen King does not do well. Mm-hmm. If they do not associate with Stephen King, it does well. Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile. These are movies that people only, was you were big fans or had tertiary information that you knew this was associated with Stephen King. The mainstream did not know it, and these movies did amazing. The one kind of exception in there is Misery. A fair number of people knew that was his. Mm-hmm. And
was that marketed really as well. Stephen King's Misery?
It wasn't marketed much, but it was a little more well-known than some of the like.
I did not know that until you just told me.
You can still tell people this day that he wrote Shawshank Redemption, and a lot of people won't know.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten until you mentioned it.
But
both
if they market
and Shawshank.
It, as you know, by Stephen King or based on Mr. Then they tend to not do well. And Pet Sematary, in my opinion, both versions fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
That they there's kind of a curse going on there, I guess you could say, that kind of takes something away from these movies. Now, having said that, I'm going to give this one a C minus, not because of the history of the curse. I'm just going to say that this kind of fits in there with it. Mostly
as you, if I could just interject, as you kind of describe this, when you get through describing your film, I would love if you could kind of tell us key differences between book and movie, because both movies take different paths. And I'm curious which path the book takes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get to that. I will say it's been a long time since I've read the
book.
Right.
We don't need like a whole like play by play, just like which version is like the book.
So I don't know if it's fresh enough in my mind to give too many details, but I've read the book a long time ago. I do remember some of it. So here's a little bit why I give this a C-. And this is going to be where like Nick, this is kind of your court here. This is your playground.
You're a horror guy.
Yeah. You really kind of are, and I'm kind of not. So this is why though. Most horror movies, and I'm using the air quotes again that nobody can see.
we need a sound effect for
yes,
air quotes,
exactly,
too.
Exactly, a little air quote thing.
Little.
Yep. The reason why they don't do anything for me is because they typically don't connect me with the character, so I don't care what happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my kind of ultimate version of this was Blair Witch Project, because like, not very far into that movie, I'm rooting for the witch. Because I care so little about these people, and they're so dumb that I just want them to die in the movie to get over. Now, this movie wasn't quite that bad, but there was never really a point where they connected me with these characters in any way. So when bad things happen to them, I think it's bad. You know, when these things happen, I'm just like, well, dinglings, yeah, what did you expect?
I was really upset when both cats died. I'm sorry. That cat deserved better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm more upset about the cat dying than anybody else.
Church.
Any of those.
Oh, sidebar. R.I.P. to Leo, the cat, who is the very talented actor who portrayed Church in the film. He died last week.
Actually, my favorite movie in the entire film is...
Sorry,
yes, my favorite movie. My favorite point in the entire film is the moment where they make a reference to Church being named after Winston Churchill, which, by the way, they don't make in the first movie.
No, they don't.
They do in the second movie, and that it was in the book. But when they make that reference, John Lithgow says something to the effect of, I know who Winston Churchill is, which I think is great, because my favorite role for John Lithgow, and I say this loving John Lithgow, but his portrayal of Winston Churchill in The Crown was epic. That may
have
been his best role.
But I need to watch it.
You know, we could do a whole episode on The Crown, and I'm a kind of hit or miss there. But
I thought for sure it would have been Footloose.
I forgot about
Legit that. Footloose is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
His portrayal of Winston Churchill, and I'm a bit of a Churchill fan, but that may be his best work ever. It really is. Like that should have been a movie in its own right.
I'll have to check that out now.
John Lithgow, and I'll just go out and say, he's the reason why I give this movie as high as a C-.
He's the high point. I think we can all agree his performance is a high point.
He's the greatest. And, you know, it was difficult for me to view this movie through the lens of itself and not relate it to the previous movie. And ultimately, I just feel like this was the typical horror movie where I just didn't give a crap about the characters, so nothing...
The similar shortcomings befell both versions.
Yeah, and they fell in the same traps. I know that they made some differences. I know different people die. You know, that was really kind of the main difference, really. I mean, because they were from Chicago and one from Boston and the other, but once again, that kind of portrays all the differences. It was irrelevant. You didn't really care whether it was Boston or Chicago. It was somewhere else. That's all that mattered. So the difference was irrelevant. You know, at the end of the movie, the order in which people died and who died, it wasn't the same, but it was ultimately irrelevant because it told the same story and had the same ups and downs, the same pros and cons from the first one, which was kind of the problem because these were cardboard people. They didn't matter any different. It didn't matter whether it was the son or the daughter who, you know, and it was just somebody died and they're sad and we're moving on, right? I mean, and you're scared, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I give it a C-.
What about you, Nick?
I do have some questions about the book. I do plan on reading the book, and I'll explain that here in a second. I gave the movie a C+.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was that good of a movie.
Really? I thought we'd be much further apart,
like
actually.
I'm also, I already know your rating because I'm a walking spoiler, but I was very surprised when earlier today you sent me your rating because it was a beloved childhood classic for you, and I was expecting a much higher rating.
See, that's the thing. Like, the original, I mean, I remember going and renting on VHS with my brother the part where the maid hangs herself in the laundry room.
Who, a character omitted from
my
2019.
Parents bought us pizza, and we were in there in the living room eating pizza watching this, and I was so young. My parents, obviously, parenting fail. I was like six. And we were eating our pizza, and for some reason, we had a Jason mask. I don't know. Wrong movie, but my parents hid behind the couch. They snuck into the den, and my dad had that Jason mask on and popped up and screamed really loud when that lady hung herself. Scared us to death, and we were...
Scarred you for life.
But it's fun. It's a fun memory, and I think that's why I like horror movies so much, because my parents didn't care, and this was just sort of...
I was the first horror movie I ever saw, fun fact, was Scream when it was in theaters because it was the first time I was ever allowed to see a horror movie.
Wow. Which was still quite a while ago. That was like 20 or 21 years ago.
I'm old.
But so I did give it a C+ because it didn't have that same magic as the original did for me.
You know, surprisingly enough, I didn't say this in mind, but the 1989 version, I thought, if you look at the cinematography and the way they presented the movie, I thought there was a lot there that was actually very well done. Mm-hmm. Now, it had that cheesiness.
But it made it campy in a way that almost worked.
It was like a B-movie, but good.
Exactly. I would agree with that. Now, if this were a B-movie, I would rate this a higher rating. Because as far as B-movies goes, this is a darn good B-movie.
Right. But see, the original was in theaters, correct?
Yes. No, it was. Okay. It had a theatrical.
Because the original, was a teleplay, made for TV, but still good for what they were working with.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, this was in right in the prime of the Stephen King phase, where everybody's obsessed with
them. Well, we're getting back.
They're making tons
of stuff. That's coming back around, though, because now we have better. Well, usually have better writers and better directors and bigger budgets and stuff. I don't think that they were able to hit it out of the park, because if you watch It Chapter One, you can tell the people who wrote and directed that movie was a true fan of It.
That's the really interesting thing about this, is that the people that created this version of this movie are avid Stephen King fans.
Really?
And they fought for years to get this movie made. They started fighting in 2010 to get this movie made.
They screwed up.
But I am very surprised by the end
result. It was too faithful of a remake to the original movie and not the book. And as I say, the plot points are all the same. Here's why I kind of got out of Stephen King for a little bit, but for no particular reason, other than that's just kind of my
sensory overload.
Well, just kind of I get into kicks where I'll be into like certain authors genres for a while. So I kind of got out of it, and I went back for a while, and I kind of got back out of it. But one of the things I always did like about Stephen King as an author is he nails characters. Now, some people
in depth nails.
He does. And some people, that's a hang up for them. Some people, they look at how in depth he goes, and it's too much for them.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I like that style. So when you get that in depth into a character and their personality and who they are, I'm in. You got me.
So that's the thing. When I was younger, and like in high school, I didn't read Stephen King. He was too much for me.
My
brother loved him. I was a Clive Barker fan. I loved the Hellbound Heart, the book. Loved the Hellraiser movies. I love Mr. Begone. All of Clive Barker, he was just good to me. Stephen King, too much. Fast forward to the age I am now. My brother, again, still a huge Stephen King fan. You have to read this book. So I'm in the middle of, I'm more than halfway over with It.
You're three quarters of the way there,
too,
buddy.
In depth.
Only 3,000 pages to go.
Laura and I spoke about this earlier.
The dairy interludes.
Like, it is only 400 pages, but those 400 pages
are 400 Stephen King pages, not regular pages.
That I know the family tree of each character. And
you have to have your magnifying glass. I have to read the print because it's so small.
You need diagrams to follow.
I'm starting to appreciate that more, because when I watched It, Chapter One, I noticed things in that movie that were
little Easter eggs and things that they put in.
Air quotes too, I haven't read Pet Sematary, so I just had the original movie, which I heard followed the book pretty decently.
It does.
And then
what
they did with the second one, they followed the movie of the original for the first half, and then they completely
bizarrely changed the kid.
But they didn't completely change the end, because the same thing happens. It's just different. It's like it's now character C instead of character D, and without making those characters matter.
But that was the thing. So here's where I'm going to get into being like the horror nut. It is absolutely terrifying that a 2-year-old child came back from the dead who was resurrected and killed the rest of that family.
He was creepy in the original.
Oh, yeah.
He was very creepy.
You want to come and play?
And he could barely speak when he died, so it's like that 2-year-old lingo, like,
daddy, you come play.
I play mommy, come play with me. And you're like, creepy as crap.
Spoiler alert.
Same
thing happened, but they switched it to the 8-year-old, 9-year-old little girl?
Yes.
And
he's
full
the last one standing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Gage is the last one standing.
But ultimately, it didn't change the story.
It didn't. Kind of. This is the part that drove me nuts. I shouldn't say I hated. She kind of had the same voice as the little kid from The Shining, like, hello, Nanny.
Red Rom. That's what I kept thinking. That she's saying Red Rom.
I didn't
Red
like Rom. That. She mimicked another character.
Every time she's like, Pascal, Red Rom.
I hated how she got smacked by a semi and for some reason just looks like part of her face is paralyzed because you know that of
would have knocked her head off or something.
Yeah, I spent years working emergency services and I've seen some pretty nasty wrecks and yeah, an 8-year-old versus semi does not.
Yeah, if anything's left of her,
that's a closed casket right there.
Yeah,
and I didn't like how they tried to incorporate the sister Zelda in this one. I thought she was way scarier in the original. Instead of making her like this, like psycho.
Well, and it didn't make sense for the story.
It didn't at all. And the wife was obsessed with not telling their family about death. And I don't know. It was just.
But see, it makes more. I will say it makes more sense in the book because that backstory about the sister. You kind of begin to understand why she's so hesitant to talk about death because this is a topic that she hasn't resolved yet, that she hasn't handled. The reason ultimately why she can't talk about it is because she can't do it. Not because this isn't a parenting choice, but it's her own fear, which, you know, leads me back to why they often fail so many at so many Stephen King movies. You know, I'll go back to like The Green Mile. Why was that a successful movie? Because you connected with those characters. You felt something. You felt cared. Emotion. They didn't do that in most of his other movies, which is where you're talking about It Chapter One, which, hey, by the way, welcome to the review of It Chapter One. one of the things that I thought that they got right in that is they connected you with those characters, which mm-hmm. is ultimately what the book and Stephen King himself does so well. So some of the plot points, they become a little less, you know, you could accuse him of sometimes having a little light in plot at times because the characters, it's all driven by them, and that's what we like.
And I understand that this is such a weird movie to discuss because to me it wasn't scary.
I agree.
Not at all. It was
it and when weird. It was it had cheap jump scares, not yes. real mm-hmm. scares, and nothing pisses me off more than a cheap jump scare.
And it looked corny. They still had that weird B-movie look to it.
See, I don't think that they did. I think they should have. I think if they had made a weird B-movie look and they had tried to make it campy and kitschy, it would have been fantastic. And but they didn't in a weird way.
And the guy who played the doctor...
The dad?
The dad. He is a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Clarke, I think.
And I feel yes. like he just took this role for a paycheck because he didn't deliver.
You never know exactly how that pans out to get to be to that stage. But, I mean, I agree that he didn't deliver. You just never know how it got
but
there.
But it could have also just been really bland writing.
Yeah. And that's what I think it was.
The writing, the directing, the editing, you just never know.
And it's because I am a horror movie nut. Like, The Exorcist, that was good writing, good story, good acting, old as hell. Mm-hmm. That movie is old. That came out in, what, the 70s?
I think so. Mm.
I have an Exorcist story I'll tell off mic.
Okay.
No pea soup.
But see, that has all the points. It even won awards. I didn't expect Pet Sematary to win any awards, right. But I expected it to hold my attention and deliver, especially after what they had for the success of It. I was expecting this.
You were expecting it to be better than the 89.
Better than the 89.
Yeah.
And the 89 was better than the 2019.
I would argue that they didn't update this movie at all.
No.
This isn't a remake. They just remastered.
It's like when they redid Psycho.
Yeah. It's like they remastered the old version and filmed a couple of new scenes.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what it felt like to me.
And for them to be fighting since 2010 to get this movie made.
I was absolutely shocked by that.
I was floored at how awful this movie was.
I mean, the executives are actually right ones?
Yeah.
Maybe they shouldn't have made it.
No, they should have, but they should have done it better. They should have had...
Maybe that's why they were fighting,
different
though.
Writers, because... But see, this is the point that I don't like about Stephen King. They threw this script at him. They had two scripts. They had the original, where Gage was the one who died, and then they had the one where the
which
girl...
Which happened in the book, no, Rich?
So, the,
Gage.
Yeah, the...
Gage
yeah,
dies in the book? Okay.
Pretty much the 1989 movie is... follows the book as far as like the details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, actually, so the 2019 version, they filmed different endings and they showed different endings and then they went with the one that had the best audience reaction.
That's not
saying
much.
That's a horrible audience reaction. Like, I didn't buy the cemetery fight. I thought that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the hell is going on? I didn't buy the wife coming back. I did kind of dig how she's like, oh, you're not my daughter, because it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then she killed her, or the daughter killed her. I can't even think of her name in this. But
Ellie.
Ellie, yeah. I didn't buy how Gage was in the car and all of a sudden this zombified family comes back to come get him. I just thought it was dumb. Like, I didn't appreciate...
They didn't sell it.
I didn't appreciate their 2019 twist. What a twist. That wasn't a twist. It seriously felt like M. Night Shyamalan wrote it. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Some of his stuff might have been better. I'm going to go ahead and dive in here, guys, because I feel like both of you have been exceptionally kind to this film. I have to be honest with you, Nick. You suggested this film. When I walked out of the theater, I was fucking pissed.
And that's the reason why I did it. I wanted everybody else to be as miserable as me.
F minus for this movie.
Ouch.
I don't even know where to start.
She's speechless.
Why the changes between why different child dies, why the way it ends is altered slightly, the wooden acting, the dad was like a cardboard cutout with no emotional connection to anybody. Mm. I will side note say that John Lithgow was amazing, and then in the scene where the mom comes back and sees the daughter, that woman delivered. Like, that was the only scene of just spot on acting.
But you get like just a couple of minutes of people delivering.
Right. Bland writing. I mean, like no salt added in whatsoever. Cheap jump scares, again, never going to not be a pet peeve. If you need a cheap jump scare, you don't have a story worth telling. The plot was predictable in the way that it unfolded. I didn't care about any of these characters. The whole part with Zelda, I understand that this is a book and that it's a Stephen King book, so there's going to be three movies worth of stuff in that book that you cannot include. The sister was not necessary to either one of the stories and made no sense. It made absolutely no sense. Zelda should have been completely omitted.
She was a scare factor.
And it wasn't scary.
But she was scarier in the 89 than she was in the 19.
I wasn't scared at all of her in the 89.
She's just creepy.
In the book, she wasn't meant to scare you. It was meant to make you understand why the wife does the thing.
And they were pathetically trying to do that in this movie, but
they failed
miserably. Instead, it just felt like they were trying to interject another villain that didn't make sense, and they couldn't make up their mind what story they wanted to tell.
She's not meant to be a villain. Like I said, she's meant to be the motivation for the decisions that the wife makes.
And the only reason why they made her such a higher point in the 2019 is because if you ask anybody who had seen the original back in the day, they've been like, Zelda scared the shit out of me and I couldn't sleep for a month.
See, I watched the original last night and I found that character laughable and not even the least bit scary. The other thing that really bothered me was Pascal. I understand that in the book he probably serves a really big plot point, but in the movie, he's completely useless. Like, why is he even fucking there?
The movies are trying to use him as a vehicle to move things along.
And it
to give
didn't
you that,
work. All right. Now, we've kind of talked about how this is not stellar for all of us. Everything's got a high point. Let's pick one. Nick, what's that one saving grace for you, man? It's just, this is the best of times and the worst of times. Pick the best of times. Moment of silence is an indicator of things.
I thought the cinematography with the cat was really good.
He liked the
kitty
cat.
That's my thing too, though.
As weird as that sounds,
the cat and both of them are my high point.
The cat was scary.
Yeah.
And as much as I hated that they changed the story, that it was, what was her name? Ellie. Instead of Gage. I thought it was cool how they actually showed her. It's so violent.
Yeah.
But this is horror.
It's a horror.
You know
movie.
What I mean? Like, I thought it was cool that they actually showed her getting kind of smacked by that semi. Because they leave it in your imagination in the other one. In
There's
the
just a shoe.
Yeah, just a shoe.
Where's the foot? That's
interesting,
a scary movie joke.
Interesting
by the
thing.
Way.
They did a Mythbusters about that, and it's a lot harder than you think to get a foot out of a shoe.
Well, I mean, if you're getting smacked by a semi, I'm pretty sure both
shoes
would be.
Maybe it was socks. I lied. It was knock your socks off. Never mind.
They could have tried on the horror element for me a little more. To me, it was just a again, it was a remake,
but it was too much
it
of
was
just
a recycled
a remake.
Of a movie, not the book.
Yes.
So,
what about you, Rich? It's the best of times. Pick
one. Interestingly enough, my best and worst are the same thing.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
John Lithgow.
Ah,
he is the best and the worst because he, you know, he like even here, like. I'm going to say he put like maybe 70% of his effort into this, mm-hmm. and it's still amazing. 70% of John Lithgow's effort is better than most everybody else's.
Than most everybody's hardest yep. work.
So it was the best part of this movie easily. The problem is, since it was so much good, it was so much better than everything else, that it made everything else seem that much worse. It was so noticeable. It's like, we're like, okay, so that guy's good. Anyway, about the rest of the movie... So it almost like took me out of it every time that he would go to acting because it just reminded me that nobody else is doing it. So
my best is also the cat. In both versions, I love animals. They were both the highlight of the movie for me.
Even though they were different breeds of cat, because that matters.
Right. One was a Russian Blue and one was, I believe, a Maine Coon because they were in Maine. Mm-hmm. So I like cats.
Everything Stephen King is in Maine just about.
Except Green Mile.
That's true. A lot of The Stand takes place in different places too. There's a lot of that's Colorado quite a bit.
But yeah, definitely the cats, RIP to Leo, are mine. And then like mild little like side note, huge Ramones fan. Pet Sematary is my favorite Ramones song. So the
Stephen King's one of his favorites too. Yeah. That's why it's...
Yeah,
I mean, so also the little, you know, the end credits roll and not the cover that was in the new one. Like, good God, no. But in the OG, when the credits roll and Pet Sematary starts playing, I was like, yay.
You know, I did appreciate a few of the Stephen King elements they threw in the second one. Like there's a point where they're driving and you see like their road sign that says to Derry.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And yeah. Apparently a lot of the like background dressing elements in the Pet Sematary were huge book things. Like they reference different pets from the books and things like that.
John Lithgow even makes a point. If you hear him in he's saying it in the background, but he's talking about the dog that got rabies, making a reference to Cujo. So, you know, they have a lot more references in there, which I guess is cool. Ultimately, I don't think it added or took away. No. But
yeah, but if you want like a good throwback or references to different books, just watch Castle Rock on Hulu.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. That's kind of what that's all about, really. All
right. We've lived through the best of times. Now let's pick the worst of times. Rich.
I mean, I already gave it the John Lithgow.
Oh, right.
Thing.
John Lithgow.
No,
I mean, attention when you talk, I swear.
No, sure she does. But, you know, once again. That's why it's the best and worst, though, because it highlighted how bad everything else was. Mm-hmm. So without that, you might not have noticed it so much.
Yeah.
How about you, Nick?
You know, I keep saying it, but they missed their mark. They fought.
Just your disappointment.
It's just disappointment because they hit the ball, but it was a foul ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stephen King's a huge baseball fan. So I'm gonna throw that out there. For people who fought so hard, you'd think that they would have paid more respect to that story, and they didn't. They suck.
Please note that we have never attempted to make a Stephen King movie, and if we did, we would suck too. We respect
no,
your effort.
I honestly,
I would totally take the paycheck.
As
though.
Many horror movies as I have,
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say your movie's gonna suck.
No, I am going to argue with you on that because as many horror movies as I have watched, and as attention to detail as I have appreciated to it, and I've invested time into this, I think that I could direct. A Stephen King, I could make a better adaptation of this movie than that.
Someday we'll become independently wealthy and we'll test this theory.
I'm
going to
go out
we'll
on a limb.
Who wins.
And I'm actually going to back Nick up a little bit. And here's why. Because I think we've had a number of examples recently in movie making where people who had a very specific vision were very successful, even without necessarily all the experience, even though some of them did have some. Mm-hmm. You know, I would point out to, say, like the Wachowski brothers with the first Matrix movies. Mm-hmm. They weren't overly experienced, but what they did have was a very specific vision of what it looked like, and they kept that vision, and the movies were good. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll stick on a Keanu phrase, John Wick. You know, this was a guy who he was a stuntman, so he wasn't completely unfamiliar, but he wasn't a director until then. And then he goes and makes a very good movie because he had a very specific vision. So I'm going to say... Wouldn't rule out Nick being able to pull it off, although you're probably going to need a lot of help and support.
Yeah.
But if you had a good vision, and that was a good vision, if you were able to realize that, I'd say it has a chance of making a good
Honestly,
movie.
I'd probably do a brother duo, like the Duffer
Duffer
brothers. Look at them, though. Like, they're a perfect example.
Dude, I know Stranger Things inside and out.
They were nobodies, and they created this.
But it was their vision.
They did have
their vision. They had a very specific
vision. Little.
They did.
And they wanted to direct. They should have gotten them to direct this movie.
I think that would have been cool. Mm-hmm.
Because they did want to do it, and they were like, no, you're nobodies. Mm-hmm. And now look
at
them.
They did Stranger Things, and they're like, Gauntlet Throne.
I would honestly employ my brother into this because he is a huge Stephen King fan. To hear my brother tell a story of just his day-to-day life, I'm like, shut your mouth and get to the end. And I honestly think it'd be a good duo. I would do a better job than these two did.
Back to the best of times and the worst of times. Mm-hmm. It's really stupid, but I was the most upset that they left the kid in the car all night long. Like, I was like, at the end of the movie, I'm like, what the hell, people? He's two. He's just been sleeping alone in a locked car in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, the odds that kid stays in the car that long, well, it's pretty much zero. If you've ever had a 2-year-old.
Has he pissed and pooped all over himself? What has he had to eat? Has he been sick? Is he cold? Well, like, what are you doing?
I think you just answered your own question.
That was, like, I was already very angry. And then I got to that part, and they just showed the kid. And I was like, don't start yelling in the middle of the movie theater. They're going to kick you out. I'm like, he's just alone in the car. I had very strong feelings about
I checked out long before then. I'm like, yeah, at that point, I think I was
still holding out hope that there was going to be something salvageable. But there wasn't.
It was bad. This is bad that I'm going to say this. When we went to the Alamo to watch this.
Alamo Draft House here in Springfield, Missouri.
I was more like blown away by my popcorn than I was by this movie. Because
what flavor did you get? Was it good?
See, I didn't know they did flavors there.
I didn't know that either. And, what flavor?
And the guy who took the order goes, would you like some Parmesan cheese for that? And I'm like,
oh, yeah, you would.
You could put Parmesan cheese on this? And I even went and watched John Wick 3 last week, and I got the same freaking popcorn because I was more into the popcorn in this freaking movie.
Have you had the milkshakes?
Yes.
The adult milkshakes?
Yes. We got a s'mores one, and it was delicious.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
But I'm gonna.
Oh, you gotta.
Yeah.
Oh.
This podcast is not sponsored, but it could be.
Yeah. Just saying, Alamo Draft House, you want some good reviews? We're giving them to you anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But that's the thing. Like, this movie sucks so bad for me, even though I did give it a C+. That's pretty bad for a horror movie, I think.
From you, yeah.
Because, well, in general, because horror movies are stupid as hell, but I love them. But it's like, to get a C+, it's like...
I think that's Nick's bio right there. Stupid as hell, but we love him.
that should be on a t-shirt.
I was into the freaking popcorn more than this stupid movie because I was blown away from the freaking Parmesan cheese. I'm like, this shit is delicious.
He doesn't even go for the movie. Isn't this the third time he watched this movie? I didn't watch it
at all. And honestly, that popcorn almost ruined John Wick 3 because I was like, God, this is so good. And I'm just eating this popcorn.
Ignoring the movie. Okay, now it's time to dive into the female factor. And surprisingly, I'm going to be a lot kinder in this facet than I was with the rest. I mean, slightly. It's far from perfect. We have, in both renditions, we have a mom we know nothing about. As far as the movies go, I'm sure she's a very full-fledged character in the books. But what does she do? Why is she there? Why do we care? What is that strange beep?
Was that in the book? Yes, it was.
Guilty conscience. However, with a very limited cast, we have both an adult and a young female represented. Mm-hmm. Super limited cast. Again, lack of development for Rachel, the mom. Like, we know she had a sister. I don't care. I don't care anything about any of you, really. But as we've talked about the horror genre multiple times, there was no over or overt sexualization of either of these characters because young women have also been very sexualized in the horror genre. And that didn't take place in this movie. And I greatly respected that. And we were not left with a final girl. We actually flipped that on its head. And the girl in the movie was the ultimate villain in a way, per se, mm-hmm. so to speak. Bad writing leads to lots of not finite statements for me because I don't really know who the ultimate villain was.
Well, let's talk about what happened. I don't know what happened.
But Ellie is the linchpin of the story. So it's an ever so slightly refreshing change of pace for horror for me.
Kinda. And you know, it's sort of like, God, who did Get Out and Us?
The comedian. Jordan Peele.
Yes. He made a fresh face for horror.
Yeah.
And he did it better.
Did it way better.
Yeah, exactly. And I honestly kind of think that the writer and director of this movie are like European, and usually like they knock that out of the park.
I feel like they're American, but you might be right.
I didn't know.
Do extensive research. I did
because
if
they
Google
are
research.
European, it's like, come on, dude, you have like black metal there. Like, get your stuff together. And I love black metal. That's probably why I like freaking horror movies. Where's this dude from? Doesn't say IMDb. You failed.
So IMDb anyway, has let you down.
They did. So it's like, I'm going to have to
just
Wikipedia
like
this next.
Movie.
Yes.
Well, I feel like pretty much just kind of sums it up. It was here. We talked about it and now it's done. Thank God.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of all of our ratings there. We're all meh.
It's sort of like Birdhouse, except in theaters. Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Bird House. It's sort of like Bird House.
Bird Box. Yeah. That's what it was, kind of.
This was better because it didn't feel like they were trying to make me
true.
Mad.
Although Sandy B was in this movie, she made it a lot better.
I do like Sandra Bullock.
All right, let's bury this in the pet cemetery, y'all.
No, it comes back.
No. Oh, God.